Okay, we warmly welcome Jenny as our speaker for this Monday Night Crew Miracles meeting, August the 3rd, 2026. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. So, Jenny, you can take it away.
Great. Thank you so much, Pat. Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a compulsive eater, and I wanted to start out with a theme for today for my share, which I wanted to write a big banner, but my theme is progress, not perfection. Because that's been the whole emphasis of my journey in OA. I've been in OA for 9 years. First, I'll just qualify a little bit. My top weight was 264, and that was when I was pregnant, but I did not have a 100-pound baby. And I was already over my normal when I got pregnant, and then I held on to it for quite a while. But I'm going to start with a little bit of background. I'm not sure if I was always a compulsive eater, but I did always have an abnormal relationship with food and body obsession and body dysmorphia, and kind of noticing my size in relation to other people's sizes. And it was always kind of I was very hyper aware of where I stood in the who was thinner kind of category. There was some kind of implied value to being thinner. And my family of origin is pretty food obsessed kind of family. My father has been in OA for about 40 years, and I did not join the fellowship 40 years ago. So it took me a while to get to the point where I realized that I needed to be here. I used sugary chocolate and things like that as a way of incentivizing myself to do work when I was a kid, when I was kind of adolescent. And that just continued on through college. And my friends knew that they could come to me if they needed. I was like a chocolate dealer, and they knew they could come to me if they needed anything, because I always had a supply. And that was before, for me, the disease, which is progressive, became so bad that I can't, you know, at this point in my disease, and at some point earlier, I got to a point where I couldn't really keep a supply very well because I just run through it. But at that point, I could still have a supply, but it was not normal and was pretty much a healthy body weight. But I always felt like I was a little bit too heavy. And my father, who is in OA and grew up with his parents always asking him, instead of like their first greeting is, "What's your weight?" Like, you know, how kind of checking it out, and how are you doing with your weight? And so that kind of transferred down to my generation. I'm also Jewish, and we come from a culture where a lot of the holidays, the theme of the holidays are kind of like, they tried to kill us, we survived, now let's eat. And a lot of the holidays, we would, you know, even if it's just a regular service afterward, there was a lot of sugary desserts, and that always made it really exciting for me. I managed to keep my weight fairly normal until my 20s. I started having some chronic pain issues that were sort of mind-body related. And I started thinking of food as being curative. And I would think, like, I had migraine headaches. And I thought, if I eat blueberry pancakes, it's going to fix my headache. It's going to stop it before it starts. And so I'd have to, like, quick get that in there. It sometimes actually seemed like it worked. And I think it worked because I was using food to create happiness or to create a feeling, a sensation, the way a lot of compulsive eaters do. But I ended up putting on some weight. And so that's when the kind of ups and downs started. After I was married, I was heavier than what I wanted to be when I looked into getting pregnant. I was just starting to work out at the gym, and my then husband said, "When are we going to get started?" And I said, "Well, let me lose some weight first." And he said, "Well, you're never going to be ready." And I thought, "Oh, I better get on board." So I decided, I don't know how soon I'll get pregnant anyway. And first try, boom, it happened. And then I was desperately sad and really anxious. And I ended up putting on 90 pounds, having all kinds of complications. Eventually, I guess I have some pictures I can show. Let me see if I can screen share. So this is me when I was a new mom. I'm the one in the striped shirt and with colleagues there continuing on here. And with my family. And then this is when I dropped all the weight off in the what I call the divorce diet. It just kind of all came off with the stress of going through a divorce. And then I had some sort of amnesia and started during the stress of some of the other aspects of the divorce, eating again and like really going for it and packing on the weight. I got really sad about it. Until a therapist said, "Why don't you go to OA?" I did. And since being in OA, I've been able to, maintain a fairly healthy body weight. So anyway, that's enough of that. I'm going to stop the share. I have some kind of amnesia, around food, and being in this program helps me remember how I got here because I work as a sponsor. And I work with different sponsees, and some of them are newer to this program. And working with them and going to meetings helps me remember where I came from and how I got here. What I'm going for is neutrality around food, and I don't always have it. And that's why I'm emphasizing progress, not perfection, because it's really hard sometimes. And when I'm not stuffing my face with food, I'm feeling these feelings that are super painful. I don't want to feel those feelings. So what I've learned along the way is that I have some tools that I use to help me stay on my path. I'm gonna just mention a little bit more about the background, and then I'll go back to the tools. I want to mention that one of the effects of being a compulsive eater and having the weight go up and down is that I had to get my gallbladder out. Sometimes that's an effect of a lot of weight changes. And then I had a lot of desperation around social events. Like there was one I went to friends who had this fun idea to everybody wear black shirts, and we're going to put these things on the black shirts and take cute pictures. But I hadn't gotten the memo that we were wearing black shirts. And so when I got there, the person who was organizing it said, "You could borrow one of my black shirts." And I tried on three different black shirts of hers, and one after the other, they did not fit me because I was too big. I just felt so sad, and I felt so sad for myself, but I also felt upset at my friend, and I ended up leaving this gathering and not really connecting with people and going and buying candy bars and eating them. Like that's how I coped with my feelings. One thing that didn't help me was the partnership that I was in my marriage. My partner used to give me food without me asking for it, like desserts and things like that. And so now that I'm not with him, it is a deal breaker for me to be with people unless they're, people I can't avoid, like like family members who I'm not going to divorce my family. I'm not going to date somebody who is going to threaten my abstinence. I'm not going to date somebody. I was hanging out with a friend who was pushing a Starbucks dessert on me, and I said, "Oh, I thank you so much. I don't eat sugar, recreational sugar." And he said, "Oh, this doesn't have any." And he was just shining me on, but he was looking at me like, "Well, he's a normie, and I'm a healthy body weight, so I should be able to enjoy it." And yes, in a perfect world, maybe I should be able to enjoy it, but I can't, because once I start, I can't stop. So I have some coping tools, and one is when I'm at a family gathering or a social gathering where there are a lot of desserts, if I look at the food, I go, okay, that's not my food. And if there's an opportunity for me to go talk to somebody away, I can do that. Or I can make a program call, or I can take a walk. Like, I don't have to stand there watching people eat these foods that are my kryptonite. Another thing that I do is I don't bake birthday cakes and things like that. Like, at some point, my son just knew that he would get all of his birthday stuff from his dad. And if I had to give him a dessert, it wasn't going to be something I would make, because I just can't do that. It doesn't work for me. I can buy him stuff when we go out, but getting my hands into the cooking, it's too much. And I know that when I have gone out to dinner with friends of mine who are quite heavy and are eating in a different way, it's kind of like I'm like an alcoholic hanging out with my old drinking buddies, and it really sets me off. And the last time I had dinner out with these particular friends, when I left the dinner, I felt really hungry after eating a normal, like perfectly fine meal. And so I had to, on my way home, make program calls one after the next after the next. And that's what helps me stay in this program. And it's not a perfect program. When I was asked to speak tonight, I thought, my first reaction was, well, my program's not as strong as some other people's. And I also need to remember that it's not the most important thing is to keep coming back and not have black and white thinking, because it's the black and white thinking that really got me into trouble in the first place. Because when I first joined the program, I actually had a join time once years. A few years earlier that didn't stick. But this time around, for the 9 years that I've been in the program, the thing that I've done right, because I've made plenty of, here and there, it hasn't been perfect, but the perfect thing that I've done is I keep coming back. And I am very active in service. My father always says service is slimming. So I've acted as speaker getter and secretary, screen sharer, and I'm a sponsor of different wonderful sponsees who I get as much from them as they get from me. And I'm learning so much. I meditate. That's part of my program. And sometimes when I have a call with my amazing sponsor, we do a 10th step, a verbal 10th step over the phone, and then we meditate together for 5 minutes, and we set a timer. We do a prayer. One of us says a prayer that we come up with, and then we meditate. And that is absolutely my favorite meditation, is to meditate with my sponsor. It's just very Somehow it really works for me. So those are some of the tools I use. I also had been taught by my sponsor to do a gratitude list, which I'm sure a lot of you do, and maybe fewer of you do affirmations, which was super, super hard in the beginning because I have a tendency to beat myself up like a lot of people do and tell myself that I'm not good enough and that I'm not doing enough. So my sponsor had me get started on those, and I have had my sponsees do that too, and they hated it in the beginning, and now they're kind of into it, and I've seen them go from kind of cringing, like, I am beautiful, to like, I am beautiful, I am resilient, I am strong, you know, and my higher power has me, and just all of these messages that really help them and me stay in this program. So that's been really, really helpful. Let's see, I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to mention. I get a little nervous with this. Outreach calls. I know a lot of people have trouble with outreach calls, and the goal is to do outreach calls 3 per day. In the spirit of progress, not perfection, if you don't do 3 outreach calls a day, okay, you know, but see if you can. You know, and that's what I do. I try for it, but if I don't do it, I don't beat myself up. I had another thought and it escaped me. I'm trying to get back to it. The black and white thinking of if I have eaten something like that isn't the right thing or it's too much, instead of thinking, well, now I've really blown it and I might as well just eat everything, I don't do that anymore. I can hit the reset timer at any time. And that's been a really big part of my program, to work that way. Otherwise, I could just start a huge relapse, if I just think that I need to go big, because that's how my brain works. I'm going to go big. So I think my 20 minutes is just about wrapping up. So I will end, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's give our speaker, Jenny, a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we are still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will be sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then on to our parking lot. Okay, so we have the first question that came in is, Jenny, what is your morning routine with the program?
I was worried you were going to ask that. In the spirit of my imperfect program, I don't have a very rigid routine. I'm kind of an improv girl who does the yes and with my life. I have had a lot of changes in recent time where, for a long time, I had the same set breakfast every morning and the same morning walk. And lately, things have been different. So my morning routine has been kind of varying by the day. 2 mornings a week, I have overseas sponsors, sponsees who call me pretty early in the morning, and I'll often take a walk and take their calls. I will often do a meditation in the morning. And then that's kind of like pretty much it. Yeah, I would say so.
Thank you. The next question, have you experienced psychic change, spiritual awakenings on various steps, Personality change sufficient to recover from compulsive eating?
I don't know if I quite understand that question, but I would say that having gone through making amends really did make a difference in my relationships with other people and the way I relate to people and to myself. Because I made amends to myself and to other people in ways that I think previously I held on to resentments so strongly, that this has been a real gift for me to be able to have this model to work with of these steps and to be able to let go of these resentments by doing a 10th step. And my initial time working the steps and going through and making the amends, it really changed my relationships with some people and with myself.
Thank you. Another question. As your recovery journey has progressed, did your relationships with friends and family change? And if so, how?
So it's kind of funny. My dad and I go to the same home meeting and we both do service there. So I don't know whether to call him by his name or call him dad, but to blow the anonymity. But my dad reports to me that he feels really happy to see me each week on Zoom at the meetings. And we both do service at the meetings, and it's kind of a nice bond that we share. One thing I've learned, though, is that everybody has their own abstinence in regular, I call it classic OA, where he doesn't have the same abstinence that I have. And so when we're together at a family occasion, it's not my job to monitor what he eats or anybody else for that matter, and not his to monitor what I eat. And my relationships, to get back to the question though, my relationships with people, I think they've gotten a lot better. I think a lot of it is due to my sponsor, who is. She's been through a lot of hardship, and you wouldn't know it from meeting her because she has so much grace and she is so resilient and she works so hard at it. And she's a real inspiration for me because there are times when I get resentful at somebody or angry and after we've worked through the 10th step, and we use a particular template together where the most powerful part of the template is I don't have it memorized, but after going through, like, God, I am fearful of this, God, I'm angry, God, I am resentful, and then, doing the prayers, and then it was God, what can I do about it? And that's where really the magic lies. And so it gives me and my higher power the ability to come up with something that I can do about it. I'm not just talking about beating myself up. And this program, the way I work it, is not a self-flagellating, mea culpa kind of program. It's a lot about self-compassion and love. And my sponsor encourages me to send light and love to other people, even the people, and especially to the people who I'm having trouble with. And that's really powerful because sometimes I don't know what to do with these people in my life. And that can be just something, some way of handling it. And then I can let go after I've done the 10th step and I've sent them love and light, and then I let go. Or if I haven't let go, I'd do another one. I might have to do it again and again.
Thank you. What advice do you give to someone for restarting after a relapse?
Progress, not perfection. Perfection is the enemy of good. Just let it be good enough. It doesn't have to be perfect. And one thing, I know everybody has their own abstinence, and like if this doesn't apply to your food plan, don't do it. But what works for me, what helps me sometimes, because I don't have the way that my food plan is, sometimes when I'm eating, because I'm a compulsive eater, I start thinking while I'm eating that this is not going to be enough food for me. And I'm already stressing out about when this plate is going to be empty and like I'm still going to be hungry. And sometimes when I've finished whatever the allotted portion is, I'm still hungry. But sometimes my brain hasn't caught up to my body. And so what I do, and you know, if you have a program where that's all you got, then like don't use this, but you know, this is just how I work mine, is I set a timer for 10 minutes. And then I just go about my business for 10 minutes. And then I circle back and I go, how am I feeling now? Am I still hungry? And a lot of times it just took that 10 minutes for the satiety to kick in. And then I don't have to eat more. Or if I'm still hungry, I go, okay, I guess I didn't give myself enough. And I can have a little bit more.
Thank you. How do you practice conscious contact with your higher power?
Well, that's a really good question. I think the best way that I do it is through meditation. And my higher power has been kind of different things at different times in my program. And it's been kind of complicated for me. But I like to meditate. And a lot comes to me during meditation, and yeah, that's the main and writing too.
What has surprised you most about your recovery?
That I actually like going to meetings. I know when I first visited OA and didn't stick around, I was very lonely, and I had all the evidence that I was a compulsive eater, but I didn't think I was at the time. For some reason, I just said, well, these people are great, and I kind of wish I were one of you, but I'm not, because I'm not. Like, you people are, you know, you got your thing, but I'm like normal with food. I just happen to be really heavy, like really heavy, but I'm still normal. And so I left, but I felt like I wished I could stay because I wanted the connection. And the connection is what's really, really helpful. And I've been getting a lot of connection in the program, from fellows, from my sponsor, my sponsees. And that's been really helpful to me just for my physical and mental and spiritual health. That's the biggest surprise.
How did you figure out the right portion size for yourself, and what does eating in moderation mean to you?
When I first started OA, I was in an offshoot program of OA. I live in Northern California, and am I allowed to mention the program? Okay. I was in HOW of OA and for the first couple of months, and it wasn't really a match for me to stay in HOW, but it did give me some structure and framework for like food plan ideas, of like what a portion could be like and what it could look like. It didn't end up being a match for me and what I need. And I've had to work with a dietitian at times to try to figure out what is a match. So I think the beauty of it of regular OA is being able to the dignity of choice and finding the right program, the right abstinence for yourself between you, your sponsor, and your dietitian, and seeing what is best for you. Because I don't think it's everything, like one thing for everybody.
Thank you. What character defects has God removed from you?
I think I'm a lot more open and less defensive. I'm more willing to hear, what is it that I'm doing that isn't working for you? And one thing I do with my sponsees is I have a very open door policy, and I encourage everybody to do this with their sponsor and their sponsees, is at any point, if things aren't working for you, talk to your sponsor about it and try to have that. I mean, I know different things work for different people. So I know some people need like a really maybe a harsher sponsor. That's not what works for me. Often I don't give unsolicited advice, or I try not to. And I often will say, would you like to hear, my experience on this? And then I'll say, take what you like and leave the rest. This is my experience. And then if it's helpful, then great. But, and all of my sponsees have totally different food plans from each other. And they work their programs in different ways, and that's totally fine.
Okay, thank you, Jenny.